Blog Talk Radio.
I know that I am most certainly not the Limbaugh that you tuned in to listen to today. I, like you, very much wish Rush was behind this golden microphone right now, welcoming you to another exceptional 3 hours of broadcasting. For over 32 years, Rush has cherished you, his loyal audience, and always look forward to every single show. It is with profound sadness I must share with you directly that our beloved Rush, my wonderful husband, passed away this morning due to complications from lung cancer. As so many of you know, losing a loved one is terribly difficult, even more so when that loved one is larger than life. Rush will forever be the greatest of all time. Rush was an extraordinary man, a gentle giant, brilliant, quick-witted, genuinely kind, extremely generous, passionate, courageous, and the hardest working person I know. Despite being one of the most recognized powerful people in the world, Rush never let the success change his core or beliefs. He was polite and respectful to everyone he met. Even most recently, when he was not feeling well in the hospital, he was so appreciative to every single doctor and nurse and custodian and first responder. He never wanted to put anyone out and always thanked them profusely for their help. From today on, there will be a tremendous void in our lives and, of course, on the radio. Rush loved our miraculous country beyond measure, an unwavering patriot. He loved our United States military, our flag, our Constitution, our founding fathers. He proudly fought and defended conservative values in a way that no one else can. Rush often stood up and took arrows on his own because he knew it was the right thing to do. Rush encouraged so many of us to think for ourselves, to learn, and to lead. He often said it did not matter where you started or what you look like. As Americans, we all have endless opportunities like nowhere else in the world. Rush gave us hope that through hard work and determination, we can overcome the obstacles in our lives and be our best. Many of you started small businesses or pursued personal dreams because Rush gave you the faith that you could. He made the most complex issues simple to understand, while making that level of genius look easy. It most certainly was anything but easy. Irreplaceable, remarkable talent. On behalf of the Limbaugh family, I would personally like to thank each and every one of you who prayed for Rush and inspired him to keep going. You rallied around Rush and lifted him up when he needed you the most. I am certain, without a shadow of a doubt, if he could be here today, he would be. He loved you, and he loved this radio program with every part of his being. Instead, we know our Rush is in heaven, encouraging us in the same way he always did on earth. Rush's love for our country and belief that our best days are ahead live on eternally. In Rush's honor, may we all continue Rush's mission in our individual lives and communities. I know all of you listening are terribly sad. We all are. I'm terribly sorry to have to deliver this news to you. God bless you, Rush, and God bless our country.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you live from the Hub, Boston, Massachusetts, on February 21st, 2021. And I'm sure all of you know the news of the past week on Wednesday, from especially if you heard that message from Catherine Limbaugh in connection with the passing of her husband and our beloved Rush Limbaugh, who died of lung cancer at the age of 70 on Wednesday, February 17th. His last show was on February 2nd, 2021. It was a wonderful statement that Catherine gave. I know I turned on Rush on Wednesday, noontime in Boston. I was a little late, and her statement was in progress, and it certainly was heartfelt, and it impacted mine and many other Americans for the whole day and probably to even till today. Rush was a staunch constitutional conservative. I believe he had the best interest in our country, and he will be sadly missed. I'd like you to call in and let me know your thoughts about Rush's passing, and tell me what you maybe you were a caller to a show and you could give us some thoughts about it. But it was a major loss for our country, and he wants us to continue, and he wants us to stay focused on the issues to make this our country a more perfect union. We have a lot of work to do with he, and many of us are very concerned about the propriety of, and the integrity of the elections and November 3rd and the counting of the votes in these battleground states that are still being contested. As a matter of fact, I'll be talking about that in a little bit, about something going on to the Supreme Court. But for now, I'm going to just switch to the regular things that I've been talking about, and we'll come back to Rush in a bit. I'm going to play a clip from President Trump. But the coronavirus is still with us, and as usual, here are the statistics that I compiled earlier today. The latest on the coronavirus pandemic. And you can get this on the website Worldometers. Let me give it to you correctly here. www.worldometers.info/US. I'm sorry. www.worldometers.info/coronavirus. The total infected on the global level is 111,954,201, almost 112 million. It was 106.5 million 2 weeks ago. So it continues to rise, and it will until maybe the vaccine hopefully will stop it. But there are new strains of the virus popping up, so we just don't know. We need to pray and do our best to stay safe and help others. On a global scale, the active cases are 22,157,206. Number of deaths on a global scale, 2,477,819. That was 2,325,191 2 weeks ago. And the recoveries are still going up about 10 million from 2 weeks ago, 87,319,176. So again, as I've said before, many people that do get infected do recover. On the USA, the following statistics are that the infected is 28,765,423, and that's up from 27,586,894, up about a little over a million. The active in the USA is 9,281,100. The number of deaths in our country is 511,133. That's over 500,000. And it's up from 474,563. So it's up about 40,000. And the recovered in the USA is 18,973,190. Same number of countries as it was 2 weeks ago. 21 countries with over 1 million cases. So there's been no change there. The Netherlands was the last country to hit the 1 million mark, and the next one that may be hitting it, we hope not, but we'll. But the country, I'm sorry, 10 million mark. Well, let me see, 18 million. The Netherlands was the last country to reach a million, and the next one that is close to it is Canada with about 845,000. Pandemic is still here. We will probably be hearing more about the vaccine, the results of the vaccine, and whether or not its efficacy results as we hope they will be, and stopping these figures from increasing. By the way, I did want to say that we've had some snow this week, and I'll be talking about the big storm in the nation. But right now it's 28 degrees in Boston at a little after 11, and the snow is pretty well under control. I had the busiest day the other day, where I had to shovel 3 times during the day. We usually have somebody do it, but there's been a change in that, so I did it myself. Again, I'd like to give you the call-in number and let you know that the chat room is open. And the call-in number is 914-803-4379. 914-803-4379. If you do call in, give me your first name, and what city and state you're calling from. And if you're outside the country, give me the caller or the country and city you're calling from. We have had a couple from outside the country. Okay, well, right now the president has spoken to a Newsmax host, and I'm going to play you a little bit of what he had to say. So, here we go.
Hey, we are privileged to have with us the former President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Mr. President, thanks so much for making the time. How are you?
Well, thank you, Greg. I'm fine. But we lost a great one today. And Brush was just a unique character, but and a great friend to all of us. So we lost a really great gentleman today.
Well, he was very good to you. You were very good to him. It was really nice that he had a friend, and you had a friend in him. We all saw the Medal of Freedom moment. I understand that Rush was not as surprised as he conveyed at that moment, was he?
Well, he knew a little bit about it, and you know, we had to because he was quite ill. And, you know, his it's amazing that he lasted this long. Only a strong person could have. And he was actually at the hospital, and he came from the hospital, and the hospital was quite a distance away. And frankly, in a state where he had to get on airplanes, and you know, so we gave him a little bit of a clue, and he was very excited. He was great. That was more emotion than anything else. If you look at it, that was the real deal emotion. Rush was really something. It was very interesting to see the room though, because half of the room Republicans went crazy, and the other half sat totally silent. But the one thing is, everybody 100% respected Rush.
Big time. You know, Mr. President, he was only 70 years old, and now when you see 70, that seems young. And
right.
I'm wondering, you know, you got a few years on Rush. When a friend dies and he's only 70 years old, do you think about your own mortality for just a minute?
Well, you do think about it, but I also have friends that are in their 80s and their 90s. You look at Bernie Marcus, Home Depot. He's 93. He's 100%. It was incredible. I watched him the other night on television. He was 100%. So, you know, I think that depending on life and genes and lots of other things, I guess, it depends. But, you know, Rush was young, relatively speaking. He was young, and he was, you know, he just got a bad deal with what he had was something that was not going to be beaten. It was not going to be beaten. And he understood that. But really, and he thought we won the election. We did win the election, as far as I'm concerned. It was disgraceful what happened, totally disgraceful. But Rush wanted to get by the election, and he did it. And he was proud of that, but he thought the result was a disgrace.
You know, Mr. President, I'm wondering, a lot of people miss you. We knew that Rush was sick, so people have been talking about this and kicking it around. Might be too soon. But would you be interested in filling that spot? It's, 2-3 hours on the radio every day, tens of millions of listeners. There's really nobody out there of his stature other than you who could probably command that audience. Is it something you've thought about?
Well, you know, a lot of people are mentioning that, and no, it's not anything I've thought about. But he'd be a hard one to replace. You know, we talked to a friend of yours, Sean Hannity. He said he's irreplaceable. And I view that, too. I say he's irreplaceable. But people, that is one of those little things that keeps popping up. But you wouldn't want to follow Rush. You know, it's the old story. You get somebody like that, you don't want to follow him because some things just can't be done. He was unique.
Yes, he certainly was, Mr. President. And we'll see what happens. I understand they're going to be playing the best of Rush. As a matter of fact, I believe Catherine, his wife, may be on tomorrow. So we'll keep tuning in and watch the what they decide to do. Okay, I just wanted to give you some more figures before we wrap up this broadcast. But the big news in the country is the winter storms have battered much of the country, I think over probably half the states. Texas in particular had major issues, and they were facing huge power outages, and the renewable energy production seems to be not coming through and has shut down, and people are without heat. But I talked to someone down in the Fort Worth area, and I understand they're starting to come out of it. Texas is normally much warmer, certainly, than up here. But it seems this year they've had it worse than we have. And our hearts go out and our prayers go out to them. Another piece of news I want to give you is that the Supreme Court of the United States is considering some voter fraud cases in three of the battleground states, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Michigan. And they're going to be considering that on Monday. Sidney Powell says that she expects orders to come out on Monday, that's tomorrow, and opinions to be announced on Thursday. So let's see what that's all about. I don't know if it's still possible to reverse the election results, especially since they've been certified, but they're going to do something in the case in these three states as the cases go before the SCOTUS. The total number of electoral college votes from those three states is 52, which would add into the 232 that the President Trump had, would put him over the 270 limit, or 70 votes that are needed, would give him 284. And reduce the Democrats' margin by the same amount. So we'll pray on that score. Now I want to give you some financial figures. The Dow closed at 31,494.32, was up from the previous 2 weeks. And the NASDAQ was up also at 13,874.46, and the S&P finished up at 3,906.71. So the markets are still up in the stratosphere, as I described them in the past, and whether they can stay that way, I don't know. I personally think they're overvalued, and I know many other financial people believe the same thing. Peter Schiff in particular, who I listen to quite a bit, he believes that the market is quite overvalued, and he is strongly in favor of the precious metals, gold, and in particular silver. Gold closed a week down from 2 weeks ago at 1784.60, but silver finished up at 2726. It was 2673 2 weeks ago, so the gold-silver ratio should be narrowing. Let me see if there's anyone in the chat room. Nope, no one in there, but everybody's probably still recovering from either the weather or from the sad news on Rush Limbaugh on Wednesday. I think our country will be feeling the effects of that for some time. But let's pray, and I know Rush would want us to continue on with his mission. Bitcoin, by the way, is now over 57,000 for one Bitcoin. It has really skyrocketed. Many people think it's going to crash, but we'll have to wait on that too. I think we need to watch for indications of inflation. I've seen a little bit of it in price inflation, and we need to keep that in mind and try to prepare for higher costs, and especially in the areas of food and energy. And we already know the stock market has been inflated, and precious metals also. They're all up from years ago. So let's keep an eye on that. I want to give you the Real Clear Politics presidential approval and disapproval figures for the period from February 2nd to February the 8th. And the approval for President Biden is 54.3. That's up from 2 weeks ago when it was 53.8. The disapproval is 39.4, which is also up from 2 weeks ago when it was 36.7. So we'll see how that goes. I think the president's going to have a lot to deal with, and he better be up for it because it isn't going to go away, the problems. They're both geopolitical problems. His connection with China, many of us are concerned about. And I just read a piece in the Epoch Times in which he was pretty well told by the Chinese leadership that we should not be meddling in their affairs, especially when it comes to issues like Hong Kong and Taiwan. So that's about it for the live portion of the show. I hope you can call in again. I'll call in maybe for the first time in 2 weeks. The next show will be on Blog Talk Radio on March the 1st. We will be heading towards spring, which is really now only about 1 month away. March 21st should be the first day of spring. So, as I check one more time with the chat room and the call-in, I don't see anything. But I will keep you informed of all these issues. Say your prayers. Pray for Russia's family. Pray for our country. And we will see you in 2 weeks to bring our country to a more perfect union. Keep using your 3 V's and your voice, your valuables, and your vote. And always remember, in God we trust. Good night, everyone. God bless you. And God bless America. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show, which will be the non-live portion of the show, and no more time for call-ins, and we will be talking more about Rush. I'm going to play you the clip of his last broadcast, which was on February the 2nd. 2020. That was a Wednesday, I believe. Let me double check that. February 17th. I'm sorry, February 2nd was the last. February 2nd. That was on a Tuesday. And then he died approximately two weeks later on Wednesday, February 17th. But we really will miss him, and I'm sure you'll appreciate this is a couple of clips from his final broadcast on February 2nd, 2021. Here we go.
Right here it is, folks. Right here is an example of one of the things that I have been attempting to convince, persuade, bludgeon people with for a number of years. Right here, right in the existing proof. And not that any of you need the proof. Don't misunderstand. I think all of you in this, the most educated, erudite audience in all of media, and I mean that. I don't think there's a more informed or educated audience in all of media than you. Who is the most ill-informed? I'd say the NPR crowd, probably the most ill-informed, the New York Times, is probably the most ill-informed media audience out there. I mean, I really do. I mean, look at 4 years of abject lies on Trump-Russia collusion. And you know something? Conservative Treehouse today, which is a bright, relatively new, and it's not new, but compared to some of the other conservative blogs out there, it is. And they have a piece today that's right on the money. It's by the writer there named Sundance. Everybody involved in it knew. They knew it was a hoax. They knew it was fraudulent. They knew that they were participating in an illegal attempt to overturn the election results of 2016. They knew, for example, that Robert Mueller had two objectives: to continue the investigation, fraudulent though it was, in order to accomplish the second objective, and that is to cover up the illegality of what everybody was doing. Now, I know you've said that. Yes, I have said that. That's fine. I'm just telling you, the way this guy wrote the piece today, it's persuasive. Everybody knew. But Rush, I'm telling you, it's a direct way of pointing. Everybody involved in it knew it, including John Durham, including Bill Barr. They all knew what was going on here. They all knew that Mueller didn't have a case. They all knew there wasn't any collusion. But the fact is, for 4 years, people that read the New York Times or watch CNN believed the exact opposite. They literally believe the exact opposite. Remember how depressed and disjointed they were when the Mueller report came out and said nothing to see here? And you notice that Barr jumped in real quickly to make sure that was the take, because he knew. He knew. They all knew what this was. That makes this even worse than it was. But just for the context of informed and ill-informed media audiences, the people that paid attention to that story alone, you would have to say, are the most uninformed, ill-informed media audiences in the country compared to you, who are the most informed. By the way, do you remember the story? I guess it was on Friday that we shared with you the new COVID testing technique that had been employed by the Chi-Coms. And the Chi-Com technique involves anal swabbing. Very many people very upset over the nasal swab because it goes way, way up there in the nasal cavity. I've had a bunch of those, and it's not pleasant. It doesn't last long. You just have to close your eyes and just say it's just a couple of seconds, and that's it. 5 seconds at most, unless they're toying with you. You got to make sure you have an examiner who doesn't hate you. I have to always keep out a sharp eye for those kinds of things. Now, you get an examiner, if they keep that swab up there for 20 seconds, that could be bad. It hasn't happened, but I have to be vigilant on things like that. Most of them love me, but you never know. There's going to be the oddball case. Well, imagine you are a citizen of China, and you're told, hey, there's a new way here of testing for COVID-19, and it involves anal swabs. So many of you are complaining about the nasal, that we thought you'd prefer the anus. Well, there's an update on the story. And it's from the UK Daily Mail. Let me just read it to you. Chinese authorities have labeled a viral video fake. A fake, pardon me, viral video after it purportedly showed Chinese citizens walking like penguins following their anal swabs to test for COVID-19. Chi-Com officials assured Chi-Com citizens they would not waddle like penguins after undergoing the procedure, which is being used in China, to screen COVID-19 cases. No official explanation was given as to why people were filmed walking in this awkward manner. But they're the Chinese, just like the American left. They can lie however they want, and there's nobody to call them on it. So if the Chi-Com government says, you don't know what you're seeing, you are not seeing what you're seeing. You're not seeing people waddle around like penguins. It isn't going to happen. China's quarantine centers have started to use anal swabs to test key people. Oh, so that's how they're doing it. They're telling people getting the anal swab that they're important rather than a bunch of stooges. For crying out loud, that's how they're doing it. I wondered how in the world... I mean, if you had the choice, what would you do? Would you choose the rectum? Would you choose the nasal cavity? Well, yeah, you'd go nasal every time. Not because you might think you might walk like a penguin, but just because, what the hell? That's not supposed to happen. You don't believe this. Even if you're a Chi-Com citizen, though, you never know what they think. So they've told people getting the anal swab that they are important, that they are key to the country's future. Some experts believe that the method is, here we go, much more accurate than a nasal or throat swab and can raise the chances of it. Well, so not only are you going to get this if you are important, but it's a better test to boot. So there you have it. Okay, now what is this big story that proves something I've been telling you? Let's first recount what it is that I've been telling you. I've been telling you as a means of explaining the Washington establishment, the structure of elites, the deep state, whatever term you use to describe this collection of people. One of the things I've pointed out is that once you have membership, that you're taken care of. Your kids are taken care of. Your kids' futures are, for the most part, unless you really screw up, guaranteed. Your kids' economic future is pretty much guaranteed. And you will be protected. If you break the law, if you go outside the contour, the confrontations of the law, you will be protected. As long as you are doing the work of the club, as long as you're doing the work of the deep state, and these kinds of perks make the club of elites much more preferable to just going it on your own with the rest of the middle class out there in this massively gigantic competition that most Americans think they're engaged in. But when you come to the deep state, you talk about the elites, there is no competition with the middle class because guess what? The middle class is who is under assault in all of this. The middle class is who's taking it on the chin. In college campuses, why the denial of free speech, the denial of and the woke and cancel culture, who is it? It's the middle class that is being attacked and dwindling. Well, here's the headline. Remember Peter Strzok, Stroke Smirk? He had the affair out there with Lisa Page. They're both FBI lawyers, and she please, text messages about, please tell me he's not going to win. Please tell me Trump's not going to win. Don't worry, Lisa. Not going to happen. We're going to have a backup plan. We're going to have, what did he call it? He said his name for his backup plan. But we're going to have a plan. Don't worry. It isn't going to happen. The guy not going to win. Trump won. Headline, Biden just made Peter Strzok, Stroke Smirk's wife a top security official at the SEC. Insurance plan. Insurance. Yeah, we got to have an insurance plan. Don't worry, Lisa. Trump isn't going to win. If he does, we have an insurance plan. And we've now seen the insurance plan. The Biden administration just announced that the Securities and Exchange Commission just announced it had hired Melissa Hodgman, who is the wife of Peter Strzok-Merk, to lead the agency as its acting director of the Division of Enforcement last week. Hodgman, according to the agency press release, has been with the SEC since 2008 as a bureaucrat engaging in a wide range of litigation. And you go to the end of the story. Hodgman is married to Peter Strzok-Merk, made famous for his role in the FBI's Deep State Crossfire Hurricane operation, which featured a witch hunt investigation that sought to incriminate President Trump. But that story is from The Federalist, in case you're wondering why it's written fairly. So Strzok-Merk is paid off on two things. He's paid off on having the affair. It was worth it to his wife to stick with him. Look what she got. She got a big promotion to the SEC, and it's worth it to Strzok-Merk because his wife was taken care of. He maintained his loyalty. He never once caved, and the deep state has moved in and taken care of him. Here is a companion.
Well, that gives you some flavor of how Rush did his shows. That was his last show, and that's just part of it. He was on for 3 hours a day, and he was good. He was excellent at his job. I'm going to finish up with the last minute of that show as his very last words. So just bear with me till I find that section. And we'll wrap up tonight's show with this final clip. I think I got it, so here we go. But we have the technical problem here.
Big.
Could be destroyed at any phase of this landing, and nobody can stop it if something goes wrong because of how long it takes a command instruction sent from Earth to reach the rover, which at the point in time will be in orbit around Mars. Now, this just fascinates me, and I understand these controllers are going to be biting their nails and going nuts during these 7 minutes, being unable to correct anything. And for much of the 7 minutes, because of the heat generated by reentry, they won't be able to have any communication with the rover at all. But even so, whatever communication they get would be delayed because of how far Mars is. Anyway, I got to take a break. I just noticed the clock. The time, be back in just a second. Well, my friends, that's it. Yet another excursion into broadcast excellence in the can. Enjoyed being with you today. Always do. And look forward to the next time. Thanks to Mark Stein, who has been in standby mode all day. Wasn't sure I was going to be able to go today. And then each hour I had to assess. But we made it. Thank you, Mr. Stein. See you all next time.
Yeah, see you all next time. And that was his final words, ladies and gentlemen. And now he is with his creator. And we are going to do what he would want us to do and continue to help to make this our more perfect union. So good night. I think I'm running out of time here. So God bless you all. And we'll play the usual ending song. See you in 2 weeks.